Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Psalm 29. He begins by saying, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In other words, the psalmist is saying, if we're willing to be yielded to God, to worship him in the way that he desires, there's something that will come from us that will give him glory. Not just our song, but something deeper than that. Then he goes on to verse 3 and says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon." In other words, the voice of God has the power to break down that which stands in the way of his will for people's lives. "He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood as the Lord, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." I have a thought on my heart today that just won't go away. And I wrote it down just in a sentence. And here it is. We, you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, must get our voice back again at this moment in history. We have something to say, and there is power. God has decreed that there be power in our speech. It's critical. We're facing a storm now of unprecedented proportions. And you and I both know that when God speaks, impossibility becomes possible. God can sovereignly speak, as he did in the storm on the sea with his disciples. He can stand up in the boat, he can command the wind, and he can command the waves, and everything has to be still. Everything in nature, everything in the universe must obey the voice of God. But I want you to keep in mind that even though he could do that on his own, he has chosen through you and I, his church, to speak on his behalf to our generation. He has given us the power to speak in his name. He's given us the right to speak in his name. And when our lives are in right relationship with him, there's power in our speech, power to break down things that stand in the way of the will of God, power to open prison doors, power to calm the hearts of the fearful. Acts chapter 27, the scripture shows us that God, it was an incredible storm. The people on that boat were going down and they knew it. They had disregarded the word of God. They had pursued a course. They were warned not to go on this course, as we in our generation were warned. Probably back, if God were to play back all the sermons that have been preached in this nation since 1940 or 30 or 50, you'd see how many times we were warned not to take this course. Don't go on this journey. Don't abandon the things of God. There was a clear warning, but we chose to ignore it. We set off thinking we're going to find an objective, which was a course really of our own making. And just like they did in Acts chapter 27, now we're beginning to realize that we're in a storm that's deeper than we bargained for. And we don't know how to get out of the storm that we find ourselves in, culturally, socially, militarily, financially, spiritually. Almost every way you think of, we're in a storm, an incredible storm. But God was about to speak in that storm in a different way than he stood up in the boat with the disciples. He was going to now speak through a vessel he had in the boat who was seeking him, a man called Paul, who had a very definite word from God, and he had a reason to live. In other words, his life was abandoned for the will of God, and he ultimately knew that the will of God would lead him to do things for the well-being of other people, even standing before Caesar, who thought he was God, an insane man who thought he was God, to tell him, "You're not God. There is one who is God, and I'd like to introduce him to you." But Paul spoke in the storm through a man who chose to pray, a man who chose to get a word from God, a person who just instead of getting involved in all the discussion that must have been going on in the belly of that ship. Can you just imagine the discussion going on there? The stupid people that got us into this journey. Or the discussions of vengeance. Once we get out of here, if our chains are broken, we're going to get even, etc., etc. He could have gotten involved in all the blame, all the bitterness, all the discussion. But instead, he went to prayer. And when he was praying, he got a word from God for his life. Not only for himself, but for everybody who was traveling with him. Remember when the moment came when his voice was to be heard on the deck of that ship, he told them to be of good cheer. He said, I have a word from God. God has me on a journey, and I'm going to finish my journey, and he's given me the souls of all of you who are traveling with me on this ship. None of you are going to perish. God gave him a word of hope through impossibility. It was an impossible situation. There is no way in a storm of that magnitude that anybody is going to make it to shore, even in a rowboat. They're not going to make it because the undertow with waves that big is just simply too strong. You couldn't make it to shore. The odds of all these people on a perishing ship making it to shore, just hanging on to a piece of wood, were a miracle in itself. It was a word that came from God through this man, Paul, that didn't calm the sea this time, but it calmed men's hearts, and it took away the power of the sea to overwhelm them. It's a word that God says, I'm willing to give to my church, that you can give clear instruction, clear direction to people who will be and are terrified in this generation, that what's going on around you has no power to drown you. It has no power to take away your hope, your future. If you will listen to what I'm telling, if you will listen to what God is speaking through my life, I'm going to show you the way to safety. It was a word that established the boundaries of safety. You remember when Paul was standing on the deck of that ship, he said, unless you stay with the ship, you will not be saved. So cut off all your other avenues of preserving yourself, everything that you think that you have to do to survive the storm, and just listen to what God has spoken to my heart. If you will listen, you will be safe. It was a word that led the people to strength. Paul was able to say, you've not eaten, you've been so afraid, but I'm telling you now to take some meat. You're going to need strength for your journey. It was a word that had the capability. It's a type of you and I having the capability to unlock this book and says, let me show you how you're going to get through. Let me show you where strength is found. Let me lead you in prayer to that place of strength. And then lastly, it was a word of thanks and confidence that inspired others. Paul the Apostle. I have a picture in my office that I had an artist paint for me of Paul the Apostle on the deck of that ship, and it said he took bread and broke it and gave thanks. The most profound communion service next to the Last Supper in the New Testament. This thing is going down, and here's a man of God on the deck of that ship saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, God, that you have a plan for my life. You've put a word in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, that your word supersedes all of the things we see around us. Thank you, God, that the sea is not going to drown these people. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them an opportunity not just to physically survive, but to have a chance to make a decision for their eternity. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you for allowing me to be given for their sakes. Allowing me to follow my Savior who went to a cross for my sake. Thank you for allowing me to be given for them. If you can see this, the most profound moment in the New Testament, this ship is going down. This thing is in a storm. But here's this man of God who has a word in his heart. He's been in prayer. He's not being swallowed up by the conversation of that moment. He has a word from God. Remember, we read Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, the voice speaks to the seas, the voice of God causes life, the voice of God brings protection, and may I add, the voice of God comes through his church, through his people. We are called to speak on the behalf of God. I don't know if we fully comprehend that. And when you're given to the work of God for your life, there's power in your speech. Power. It's not ordinary talk. There's no power in the speech of those on news radio. There's no power there. Just a lot of talk, but no power. But when a believer in Christ speaks, when our life is given for the purposes of God and for the protection and betterment of people. There is power in our speech. I've seen it. This church, many in this church have seen it as we've traveled overseas, and we've seen the voice of God break poverty, the voice of God break civil war and bring peace. We've seen God do what only God can do. Open prison doors and set people free, bring them out of captivity and into the light and life of Christ. We've watched it. There's power when you're given for the work of God and the word of God is in your heart. You can speak in your own home and there's power in your speech. The softest spoken word is like cannon fire into the ranks of hell. We must get our voice back. We must get our voice back as the Church of Jesus Christ. We must get our voice back. We've lost our voice. But by the grace of God, we're in a storm. By the grace of God, people are going to be listening soon. By the grace of God, people that laughed at you in your workplace are suddenly going to give you a second look, may I call it that, and a second listen. They might do it on the side. It might be a group. They might just corner you in the lunchroom and say, what is that again you told us that we shouldn't do? You've got to get power back in your speech. We've got to speak on God's behalf again. And it really comes when we are set apart for his purpose. When we are willing to be given for other people. See, that's where the power is. A selfish heart has no power. Christ's life was a selfless life. Lived for the will of his Father and ultimately gave himself for us. Calls us to follow in his footsteps. Doesn't mean you don't have a good job. Doesn't mean you don't work 9 to 5 and come home, be able to pay your rent, et cetera, et cetera. But it means ultimately at the core of your foundation of who you are given for other people. And when you go to prayer, God gives you a word. And your words will have weight. Your words will have power. Your words will make a difference. We need to find our voice again. Paul didn't have a theory when he rose to the deck of that ship. He had a word from God. And he had a heart that represented the heart of God. Didn't rub the people's faces in their sin and rebellion. He just made one statement. You should have listened. You didn't. But now, be of good cheer. I have a word from God. I have a word from God. God's going to preserve you. If you will listen to me, he will preserve you. And you're going to be able to tell your friends, no matter what happens in this country, if you'll listen to me, God will preserve you. God will help your family. God will keep you. God will provide for you. God will be faithful to you. If you will listen to me, you listen to what I'm about to tell you. And then you can go home and break bread and say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you that you chose to put me in that office with those people. Thank you, God, that it was that neighborhood you chose to have me live in. Thank you, Lord. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. It looked so bad. It looked like such a rotten journey. It looked like something I just wanted to get out of all my life. But, oh, God, I now realize you put me there for their sakes. And you put a word in my mouth, and you caused a storm to happen so they would listen to me. See, God causes the storm. In the middle of the storm, if we begin to pray, watch what he will do. Watch the word that he'll give you, the calmness in your heart, the assurance in your voice, the certainty of the direction, the clarity of the word of God will all come to you. He puts it there. He puts it there. The joy of being in a moment where you realize what's eternally valuable is going to be preserved. The ship's going to be lost, but you can always make another one. But God doesn't see people that way. He doesn't look at a lost person and say, well, I can always make another one. Everyone is of inestimable value in the sight of God. So now we come to the communion table. And our voice is found in being given. Understanding that Christ was given for us and we are called to be given for others. That's where our voice is found. Hallelujah. It's not really complicated, you know, unless we choose to make it complicated. You know, when people don't want to do the will of God, they become theologians. And who is my neighbor? But when you want to do the will of God, it's suddenly just the fog clears. And it's just, it's simple. It's there. The word comes alive. The purpose of life becomes known. And God fills your heart with a love for people. He will give you what you need. Paul had to have a love in his heart for those people because some of them had abused him. As Elise said tonight, you know, the children of the people who killed her family, she's feeding them. Only God can do that. Only God can do that.